You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, guys. It's your girl, Ash, and I'm back with another episode of Truth Is. Okay, so today I want to talk to you folks about a topic that I have battled with since my teenage years. I struggle with taking a fucking compliment. It's like a mental or emotional disease. I say it's been since my teens because I remember during my preteen years, my dad used to say I was really vain. I was always in the mirror, checking my hair, flashing my newly painted nails with my mom's Revlon nail polish, or doing twirls in her clothes and high heels. You know, typical girly things. Point is, if there was a mirror to stand in front of, I was there, fawning over my beauty. And man, I wish those days were still here. I haven't been that girl since. And while vanity may be frowned upon, at least I didn't have to convince myself that I look nice or that I was pretty. I simply knew it. And I long for those days, right? Like, the more and more I reflect with you guys, I'm just like, what happened to that little girl I didn't need to be told. I think whether it was my parents from my youth putting that in me, you know, making me feel good about myself. But, you know, it's like I think about now and I miss it. But I digress. The very long point that I'm making is that I must have been okay with my looks and overall appearance, so much so that when I did get complimented, I didn't shy away from it. I must have embraced it. I don't know exactly how or what was in me or, you know, what was innate that allowed me to do that. But then I became a teenager. I call them the dreadful years. No, I kid. But, you know, being a teenager is tough. It comes with so many different things. But they were tough, right, for me. And my teen years was the time in my life where I realized I was being measured by my peers in all sorts of ways. I was the tall girl with a big booty. You know, like at 13, I wanted to hide. I didn't know I wanted to shrink in size. I hated being more voluptuous at that age. I hated being taller than all the boys. I remember I have a friend who, and we joke about it to this day, that when we were in junior high, he used to like come up and like measure himself. So like every year, like he'd created this marker for like his height, and I was his measurement, right? So it was just like, if I be Aisha, if I'm taller than her, then I'm good. So every year he would like measure himself up against me until, obviously, we're much older now, and he has surpassed me in height, which I know he's quite proud of. But I didn't want that because the other girls, that wasn't happening to them. Like, it was cute to be shorter and petite and whatnot. Like, being tall, especially in junior high school, wasn't the thing, right? And then everyone tells you, oh, you should probably play basketball. You should probably play basketball, which, by the way, I ended up doing. And I will say that I did become the varsity, the junior varsity captain of the basketball team, not because I was dope with the basketball. Like, it wasn't like my dribbling skills was hot or my three-pointer was on point. None of that. That is actually all false. I got chosen to be our captain just because I think I had leadership skills even then, which was cool. But essentially, you know, you're being told to join certain sports because of your height, not necessarily because you're good at it, right? And it's not that I wanted to be in the other groups. Like, you know, we're the Mets, which is kind of like a combination of cheerleading and dance. Or that I wanted to be in like the orchestra or some other, I don't know, team. It wasn't that. It was just, I didn't want to be told or chosen for a particular sport because of my height. Because at 13, being told and all the boys and the girls, just wasn't cool. Just would not popping. I didn't have like long flowing hair like my best friend. Like, she literally has long flowing hair and looks like Aaliyah. So you can imagine the strife I was dealing with. Also, RIP Aaliyah. And it's not like I'm some like ogre chick or whatever. Like, no, I'm not hideous or anything like that. But when you're a teenager, everything just feels so much more stressful. Everything just feels so much more intense. related to superficial shit, right? Like, I'm not talking about, like, real issues or whatever, but, like, superficial bullshit. I remember my dad had, like, walked in a conversation that I was having with my best friend about Brandy's edges, right? Because she was, you know, for those who grew up around the time that I grew up when Moesha was on and, you know, before she, when she had that other show, I forget the name, she always, like, you know, had her edges laid, but she was always rocking braids. And, like, that's not good for your edges. Like, that pulls, right? So now your edges is weak and, you know, that's not what's up. So we always talk about, like, I don't know why Brandy won't give her hair a break. She just needs to take the braids out. Like, it's not good for her edges, this, that, and the third. And my dad came in and he was like, this is what y'all are talking about. This isn't constructive conversation. And we laugh about it to this day because absolutely not, it wasn't constructive. There wasn't anything important about Brandy's edges. There's obviously way more important things that were going on in the world at the time. But when you're a preteen teenager, Brandy's edges are pretty much ridiculously important, right? So those are the things that took over our conversations as a teenager. And I'm sure that you guys can think about all the silly things you talked about that at the time just felt so important to you. So yeah, being a teenager, these types of superficial things, having a beautiful best friend who is, you know, she's petite or thin or whatever the case, and she's light skinned. So look, I mean, playing into all these like stereotypes, especially for a Black child or African-American, however you know, I'm Black. All right. So that it's its own thing. There's so many things that come into that. And you can really start to feel bad about yourself when you are being measured by your peers and you're hearing certain things about people and that they're being rated high or low based on their looks and nothing else. Because on the other end of that, my best friend was always only seen as the pretty girl. So like no one ever made an attempt. And when I say no one, I'm talking about dudes, right? Like an attempt to really get to know her and know that she's actually really funny and silly and has a personality. It's like the Black 90210. That's what it was at my school for me. So, you know, being compared and measured was definitely a huge part of my adolescence. And it made it hard for me to be confident about my outer appearance. And let's face it, you know, even, you know, inner self matters, right? Absolutely. How you know, what you have inside your heart, all of that, right? But ain't nobody trying to hear that shit. Nobody's trying to hear that Disney speech when you're 13 or 14 and it's picture day and you got a big ass red pimple in the middle of your forehead. Like, true story. Like, that's not cute, right? So you're a really good person inside and you're funny. Not interested at 13, 14. That just doesn't really matter. I don't know how it is now. Things are different. I don't know. Maybe not. So how does this relate to compliments, right? So when someone complimented me, I almost always questioned their intentions in my adolescence, even into like college. So, you know, someone would say, oh, Aisha, you're so pretty, or you have really pretty eyes, or you're this or whatever. And I'd like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, my G, I got nothing for you. I'm unemployed. I'm an unemployed teen virgin. Who are you? What do you want from me? Keep your compliments, sir or ma'am. I'm good. No need to compliment me just because you and my mom go way back. You can keep your pity compliment. I'm good. Like, that's how I felt about compliments. That's how I felt about anyone giving me a compliment at the time. Like, I'm just kind of like, what is it that you, like, it was like a barter system. Like, oh, they give me a compliment. I give them something. And it couldn't have just been the simplest thing, which is they really wanted to give you this compliment, right? It had to be some hidden agenda. It wasn't genuine in my mind. And this self-pity and denial of like my beauty began to extend into me believing anything positive about myself. Like, it made it very hard for me to think highly of myself. This feeling of not really believing I was good enough. And if someone gave me a compliment, I either questioned their intentions or felt bad because I'm thinking, little did they know, I'm not as brilliant as they believe me to be. I mean, that started coming up. Like, so this feeling of like imposter syndrome and like, they're going to find out that you're actually whack or you suck at all of these things, or you don't really deserve to be in these positions or whatever it is. Right. I remembered when my best friend from college complimented me on my writing. I had this assignment where I had to write like a short story or whatever in one of my like creative writing courses. And truth is, deep down inside, I knew my story was good, right? I was feeling myself. You know those times where you're working on something, especially things that you're good in, like your gifts, right? For me as a writer, I'm like, I'm at the computer, I'm typing away. I'm like, yeah, this is a shit. Like, I know my story's popping. And part of that is because, like, the fact that she even heard the story was because deep down inside, I knew that it was a good story, so I wanted to share it with her. But then she said it out loud. Like, she out loud said, oh my gosh, you're such a good writer, or that's such a good story. I couldn't write something like that, and I couldn't do it so quickly, because I think it took me, like, 2 to 3 hours to write this short story. And I think because she said the very thing that I knew deep down inside out loud, it had this reverse effect. And instead of feeling secure and validated, I felt like a fraud. Like, the imposter syndrome is to an extent still following me, you know, to this day, right? So example number 111 of these situations. I've had many people show love for the podcast and express that I should continue to use my voice to share my truths and others' truths, right? And all that sounds really lovely. And it does. It truly, truly does. But in my mind, I started to ask myself, are you listening to the same podcast? Like, I'm on this mic and it's all a big charade. Like, I'm not really as good as I think I am. I don't really believe that you could be enjoying yourself. And even though I know that's not the truth, I feel that way once it's expressed out loud. It's as if, you know, I've had the courage enough to get on the mic. I had the courage enough to create something to be up to, I don't know what, episode 19. However, once someone says it out loud, like, great job, this is a good podcast, it seems like it takes all of that away. Like, all that confidence, all that belief in myself starts to fall away, which is actually really sad. But yeah, that's example 111. Example 204. This example is what truly made me want to address this topic of not being able to take a compliment. Actually, this is the catalyst for today's episode. So a close friend of mine got married recently. It's like the wedding of the century. I don't know. It was a really, 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 really great time. And I was asked to host the wedding. That in of itself was an honor, because this person, my friend who was recently wed, is very particular. She does not trust anybody or just anybody. She's very particular about the people that she keeps close. She's just a very particular person. She does not play because things matter to her a lot. And if she asks you to do something for her, it is because she trusts that you can do it. And I know this about her. Like, I've known her for God knows how long. So, like, I know these things about her. And when she asked me, I was definitely honored. And in that moment, I didn't even question if this was a good idea. Like, I was like, hell yeah, I'm down. I mean, naturally, I was already down for the ride just because this is one of my good friends and I want to do whatever I can to help her, you know, bring this vision of this amazing wedding, you know, to life. And if I could play a small part in that, then hell yeah. So, you know, like I said, if she trusts me to host the wedding, then I trusted me to host the wedding. So now this request was made months prior to the wedding, like nearly 6 months before. So like I had enough time to like get ready in my mind and, you know, whatever. So for those 5 to 6 months or so, I was like, yeah, I got this. Like I was hype. I was feeling myself. I was like, you know, like talking to my husband, like, baby, you know, this is gonna be great. And I also like my 9 to 5, my job is public speaking. I'm constantly talking to people. So I really wasn't concerned. I've been doing this type of work for the past 5 years. So it wasn't really a concern of mine if I could succeed. You know, I didn't really have to concern myself with what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it because I does this, like I got this, right? So those were the thoughts going through my mind before, right? Then the fateful day came and I was doing my pre-hosting duties, which was like, you know, just making sure she was comfortable, making sure that the photographer, you know, had everything that they needed, that the wedding planner was good and whatever. Whatever pre-hosting duties are, I was doing that. And I was doing it well. I was helping to make sure all was well with her, making sure that she was calm. And that felt really easy and stressless for me because while I suck at doing a lot for my own self, like I just don't have it in me. I just can't. It is nothing for me to get excited and get into full like work mode for my friends and family. So cut to about 10 minutes before I am about to introduce myself and speak on behalf of the beautiful couple. I am like downing Jameson and ginger beer. Side note, it's a really great combo. Check it out. And so I turn to my friend who's already been tasked with giving one half of the wedding toast. And I'm like, yo, I am nervous. I don't know if I could do this. I think I'm gonna fuck this shit up. Like, I don't know. This is a bad idea. So she's like, what are you nervous for? I'm like, I'm scared I'm gonna fuck this up. And I'm a little tipsy. So she says to me with complete ease and without hesitation, she tells me that this stuff is the stuff that I'm good at, that I know what I'm doing, and that she actually admires me and wishes she could do the same. Mind you, like in about 10 minutes, she's going to be up to speak, right? And so I am grateful. I'm a little teary-eyed even, and I blame the Jameson, but I get up from my seat clumsily. I get up from my seat, which then causes me to knock the seat down to the floor. And I turn to my friend and I'm like, you sure you still admire me? Because I'm a klutz. But again, I digress. So unknowingly, my friend fed me words of encouragement that I needed to be able to get up and go. But even in her words of encouragement, even her complimenting me, I managed to turn that compliment into a joke when I had like knocked the chair down. And, you know, in retrospect, I think about like it as a, it's kind of like a safety net or a crutch, right? Like someone is genuinely complimenting you, sharing with you the beauty, whether it's internal or external, that they see in you and the things that they believe about you, that like the positive things that they believe you can do. And you still find a way to make a joke out of it. And not in an insulting way, right? Not to take away from what my friend said to me, but nevertheless, it just, I still made a joke out of it. And I will say, you know, the speech was great. I think I did a pretty solid job. The mother of the groom, who I think is like amazing, she came to me and she said, "You are a star." She's from Sudan, so that's my really bad Sudanese accent. But I felt like if she said that, then I was good, right? But it did make me think much later, like, what was that about? Like, why a friend of mine who's given me this compliment, who I've known for so long, if I'm going to trust anyone, I'm going to trust my close friends and family with, I'm not going to look at other them like, you know, what is it that you want from me? Or is there conspiracy theory behind this compliment? And I still didn't fully accept the compliment. I should have just said thank you and kept it moving. A while back, I did a podcast on this notion that no one owes you an apology. So if it's given more times than not, it's genuine. I feel the same way about compliments. She didn't have to say what she said, but she did, and she meant it. Point blank, period. Just like people don't have to give you an apology or owe you an apology, people don't have to give you a compliment. So if someone is paying you a compliment, more times than not, it is probably genuine. It is not like there's some underlying thing that they want or some, you know, conspiracy behind it, or, you know, Ashton Kutcher's not going to come out with a camera and say that you've been punked. Like, that's not going to happen. The person's giving you a compliment. Take it and say thank you. So, like I said, I did do a good job. I had walked up to the front at the folks in the audience, and I stared at them and suddenly remembered that I do this, right? And like I mentioned, I did a great job. So, you know, it's like, what the fuck is up? I'm not the only one who is struggling with being comfortable with taking a compliment. And I decided to do some research on the topic and see what is constantly holding us back from being okay with simply saying thank you to a compliment. Now, I've said before, I'm always going to speak from my perspective. When I speak my truth, I can only speak my truth. And I am a heterosexual female. I find in my experience that females definitely have a hard time taking compliments. I don't want to say that it's a whole gender thing, but I can only speak from being a girl or woman, I should say. So I was reading a Huffington Post article on healthy living, and it said that those of us who find taking compliments challenging find it challenging because we are not seeing our worth. We focus most of our energy being self-deprecating. So the minute we're complimented, we feel vulnerable and exposed. And in my example 204 with the wedding, I'm used to being self-deprecating. I'm used to being like, oh, I don't think I can do this, or like whatever it is, right? So I'm comfortable, unfortunately, in that space. I am not comfortable in a space of, hey, Aisha, you're the shit. Aisha, you got this. You're going to do da da. Like, I'm not constantly waking up in the morning, you know, reading affirmations and telling myself that I'm wonderful and beautiful. I'm usually being like, I'm so fucking lazy. I'm so slow. I could drop 10. Like, I have a Christmas list of things that I could work on, but I don't have a Christmas list of things that speak to how awesome I am as a person. So that really resonated with me. And in the article, a social psychologist, Laura Brannon, she brought up not only, you know, she wasn't just talking about women who have low self-esteem and battle with compliments because they are so self-deprecating. She also mentioned women who have high self-esteem. And these women may reject compliments because they want to seem modest and self-effacing, right? So she says that modesty, the ubiquitous culture and religious culprit behind society's obsession with cultivating demure, submissive, and compliant women, has been inculcated in most women from an early age. AKA, women are taught to keep their head down, be silent, don't say much, don't appear confident. And if you do all of those things, that's actually seen as acceptable. So even in these confident folks who struggle with taking a compliment, it is because they don't want to appear as confident as they truly are, which is its own problem, right? So do I think this information, this research is particularly new or innovative? No, it's important. But I think that, I definitely think it's something that most of us have always known. We may not have sat down to think about the why around it. Like, until I thought about this podcast, I forgot that I was even a child who was very confident, who always felt good about herself and rarely put herself down. I didn't remember that about myself, which is, you know, sad. But it did make me stop and think about what experiences have led me to have this issue with taking a compliment. A person struggling with self-worth should be able to take a compliment without feeling weird or like a fraud. And a confident person should be able to do so without trying to feel like they're portraying themselves as being an asshole for being confident, right? They shouldn't feel like they need to change their personality to come off more demure and submissive and like, oh, I'm so modest, thank you, or whatever. Like, that's some bullshit. And the truth is, it starts with the individual, right? If you know you're the shit, then own that and tell yourself you are as many times as you need to until you no longer have to convince yourself, right? It's like anything that we learn. We have to be constantly taught and reminded. It's like if you're training for a marathon, you have to prep your body to be ready for that, this physical feat that you're about to take on. So you're constantly reminding your body what needs to be done in order for you to be successful in that space, whatever it is that you're doing. Same thing with eating. Anything that you do, anything that you want to make permanent, anything that you want to stick, it has to be a constant. You have to do it over and over again. And it may sound crazy that you may have to get up every morning and tell yourself you're awesome and tell yourself you're beautiful. And I remember a friend of mine, it wasn't until I was 25, I was having my 25th birthday party, and I was looking for dresses and shoes, and I was showing my friend, and I was like, I don't know if I should buy these because this is like kind of expensive. I mean, not expensive. It's the heel is too high, and I'm gonna look like a tree. And she was like, fuck that. She was like, you see how tall Sierra is? Like, Sierra owns her height. Like, I wish I was tall. And, you know, she's going on and on. And my friend is fly. Like, she's beautiful. She's stylish. She's petite. She's short, all that. But for someone who is, to me, already a confident individual who could say something like, I wish I was tall, it made me think. It changed my perspective. And it took me till 25 and someone that I trusted saying that being tall is an amazing thing, to actually believe it. But I had to remind myself. So every time I, you know, from that moment when I go shopping for shoes or whatever, I'd be like, fuck it. You know, I'm tall. It is what it is. And the funny thing about it is I noticed as a teenager that I was being measured up against my peers. And that hasn't stopped. Because when I did go to my birthday party and I had my high heels, I was standing next to a guy who was significantly shorter than me, even without the heels, by the way. And he said to me, oh, what happened to the other tower? And I said, it blew up. Like, what the fuck is that shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, dark joke, not cool. But two, you know, I had to stop and not own that and feel bad about my height because I was already literally walking on cloud nine. With being tall and being comfortable with it. But I had to step back and acknowledge that this individual was having his own insecurity issues about his height. And he had to use this terrible joke as a crutch or a way to protect himself from his own opinions about himself or from other people's opinions about his height if he felt that, you know, he was being watched. I don't know. But it was just interesting because in that same moment, I was working towards accepting my height and still hearing someone in some way comment on it or make a judgment about it, right? And it was my job to decide from a mental and emotional standpoint how I was going to receive that information, which then, because I chose to ignore it or to not take it personal, I was able to keep going on with my night and not be self-conscious about my height. But maybe if I didn't have that pep talk from my friend, maybe if I hadn't been reminding myself over and over since that conversation with her that being tall was actually really sexy and cool, I would have felt bad. I may have wanted to shrink and hide at my own damn party. You know, and like I said, it starts with the individual. And in the meantime, while you are practicing complimenting yourself and convincing yourself to be okay with who you are, when you are given a compliment, use that as batting practice to build it up. So every time somebody's like, yo, I love your outfit, or you did such a great job at hosting the wedding or whatever, don't look at them with the side eye like they're crazy. Smile and say thank you. Sit with it. Ask yourself, why couldn't I believe them automatically? And then work to believing them. But just start with saying thank you. And for those individuals who are already winning in the confidence department, I say fuck it. Why hide your light when someone compliments you? If they're complimenting you, it's because they see your light and is acknowledging it out loud by telling you. And that's freaking awesome. So take the fucking compliment and keep it moving. No need to shrink yourself because of it. All right? As always, I want to say thanks for taking the time out to listen. You guys know where to find me, but for whatever reason you don't, you can find me on Twitter at TruthIs25. You can find the Truth Is podcast on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and on www.podomatic.com. Also, guys, remember that the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Thanks. Until next time.